Hi, friends. I'm Tim Viegas with the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education, and you are listening to Think Inclusive, our podcast that brings you conversations about inclusive education and what inclusion looks like in the real world. Have you ever been watching an animated movie or TV show and thought, who am I listening to? Or who does the voice of this character? Well, our guest this week is Jonathan Cormer, a voice actor and the host of the Dork Tales Storytime podcast. He has a passion for storytelling and brings classic fairy tales to life with a geekish twist. In this episode, Jonathan shares his experiences in voice acting and working in theater. Jonathan emphasizes the importance of authentic representation of disabilities in audio and encourages more opportunities for neurodivergent individuals. He reflects on his own journey with autism and the impact of inclusive education. Jonathan also shares his dreams for his career and the positive message of his podcast. This week's episode is brought to you by MCIE's Inclusion Stories, our five-part podcast series that tells the stories of families, educators, and school systems on their journey to full and authentic inclusive education for each and every learner. All five parts of Inclusion Stories are available now. Follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast player. After a short break, my interview with Jonathan Cormer. And for free time this week, I've got a podcast recommendation for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Jonathan Cormer, welcome to the Think Inclusive podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about Dork Tales?
Dork Tales Storytime podcast is a it's kind of like a sort of a fractured fairy tale kind of thing. It's like the tagline is classic fairy tales with a geekish twist, where I kind of put my me and the team, we kind of put our own spin on these classic stories. And the idea is it's set in a universe, in a land of once upon a time. So like an alternate world where Jonathan, no relation, and his friend slash co-host, Mr. Reginald T. Hedgehog, are kind of telling stories from their home in once upon a time. And they're telling these stories that kind of relate to a situation or deal with any kind of like, you know, maybe an issue, like if somebody has an argument, they'll tell a story or something to inspire. And speaking of inspire, there's not just the dork tales, as they're called. There's also the hidden heroes of history, where we go through different people who made very like important historical contributions, but never, you know, just aren't really talked about that much, but they still were very important. Like we deal with people like Hedy Lamarr, George Washington Carver, Tenzin Norgay, Patricia Bath. The one we did was Jerry Lawson, who helped create the, I think there's a Google Doodle game with him about him. And he kind of was a man who was influential by creating the first, or helping to create the first console that you can switch different like games on, different cartridges on, and that Atari ended up kind of buying and using for their system. So, you know, just different kinds of people in addition to the fairy tales.
Oh, so is that in the same podcast feed, or is that a separate podcast?
It is. Okay. I mean, it's in the exact same feed, the exact same characters, Jonathan and Mr. Red and Reginald, telling the stories and stuff like that. Jonathan's usually the go-to storyteller, although sometimes we'll either Mr. Reg will tell us a story, or we'll bring on a guest actor to tell the story. Like we did with Reg's Night School, which I believe you promoted.
Yes, yes, yes. We put that in our newsletter, the weekly-ish. You know, so you have a quite impressive demo reel. When I was doing some research for our interview, I was like, oh, and it just keeps going, and it just keeps going. So, I would love to know if there's a voice acting job or experience that really stands out to you as something that was, you know, really special.
There are really two. The first one I think was really special in how it sort of built my confidence was working for California's Great America, which is a theme park run by the same people who do like Knott's Berry Farm and I forget the name of the Cedar Point. And stuff, big theme park chain. They were owned by Paramount. And when I first started working there, and then when they were no longer owned by Paramount, they were bought out by Cedar Point. They didn't have any of the voiceovers, like the Nickelodeon voiceover stuff anymore. So I went to the, in some baffling thing popped in my head, I went to the, hey, I'm a voiceover actor. Maybe I could do some announcements for you. And I ended up working at the park for like over 5 years. And hearing yourself in the park was weird. But what was even weirder about it was everyone who heard me, no one knew who I was, because I was kind of officially like, I was kind of outside the normal park staff. But everybody knew who I was. So when the time came to work on like the Halloween haunts, which I did do live, I didn't really want to tell people and stuff. And then some of the tech people blabbed and stuff. And so everybody knew who I was. And it was so weird. It was like I was it sounds so strange, like a celebrity. And I was like, really? And I, everybody in the park knew me, and they all liked me. It was like the first time I had like a really large group of people who, you know, had a positive relationships with, like a lot of friends and stuff. So that's one of them. And you can still hear me on one of the rides. Welcome to Gold Strackers. We're going to strack it rich. Yes. Yes. And then the second one was when I went to do mocap. I worked on a video game from 2K. That was a day, because nothing that happened went according to plan. The schedule changed. What was supposed to be a 2-day recording turned into one. I showed up like the night before. I rested. I was there. We read through the scene in the morning, which they changed the dialogue the night before, by the way. Read through the scene in the morning. Then I spent the whole afternoon in a what was basically a wetsuit with ping pong balls on it, because it was the motion capture suit. So if you want to know what it's like, it's basically a wetsuit with ping pong balls on it. And the whole time they had to pick up, because one of the actors, the main characters, had a scheduling conflict. So they can only do one day. And it's like, well, okay. So who am I, right? So I did, okay, one day, fine. Did in the morning, had breakfast, and then they had to do a pickup of one scene, which took them forever to do. It was so long, and the day was getting shorter. And we were like an hour away from when they, like the studio, the warehouse closes. We're an hour away. We haven't even got to my scene yet. We're an hour away. We're finally getting to my scene. And the writer and directors said, now, Jonathan, don't worry. It'll be fine. All you have to do is just be really scared and stressed out. And I'm like, trust me, that's not going to be acting. I knocked it out in a half hour.
It nailed it.
Yeah. We had an hour left. I knocked it out in a half hour. So.
Oh, my goodness.
But that was fun. It was fun to do. So,
yeah. You were in a video game, so they didn't just use your voice then. they used your body.
Yes, they did.
Wow. That must have been, yeah, that's different, right?
Well, it's a
different experience.
Well, actually, it was so interesting because I got my start in theater acting. I took drama first. And so I'm used to actually, you know, performing on stage. So in a weird way, it was kind of like acting a scene in a play or a film, more like a film. You're just acting like it normally, except again, you have a little camera attached to your, like a selfie camera attached to your head, wearing a helmet with a selfie camera attached to your head in a wetsuit with ping pong balls. So that's the only real difference.
Yeah. Oh man. So you do have a lot of work. You've done a lot of work in voice acting, mm-hmm. and you said you did some work in theater as well. Mm-hmm. Is there something that you're working on right now?
Not at the moment. I usually do like some shorter plays. Actually, a few years ago, you know, before 2020, I mm-hmm. Did a. I worked with a local theater, and I did a Star Wars, the entire Star Wars trilogy in an hour. I got to play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really fun. I got to play. We added the entire original trilogy in like an hour. I got to play Darth Vader, Yoda, and the big abominable snowman thing that tackles Luke in the beginning of the second movie. As right. well as yeah. like a few other like little things, because it was a modest sized cast. We all played different, except for the people who were on screen all the time. But switching between Darth Vader, which is so fun to do, and Yoda, which was a Kermit the Frog hand puppet with ears ears attached to it, was great fun.
Do you identify yourself as someone with a disability? And how do you think disability can be more authentically represented in audio specifically?
You know, I'm maybe it's just because I'm old and I grew up in a different time where like I was picked on a lot as a kid. And so it's a lot of it right now. It's just it's like you can call me whatever you like, darling. Like, I mean, I've learned over the years that I was happier when I stopped caring. And that seems very harsh, but that's like the only really word I can say. When I stop really like being bothered by or worrying what other people thought of me and more about what I thought about myself, because if you like yourself, people will like you. I think liking yourself, but then I say that like it's easy though. That took a lot of, you know, time and building relationships with people, and gaining confidence in myself to really come to that understanding. So it's not like it was an easy thing, but in regards to, representation, it's so tricky with voiceover. I feel like it's kind of, there needs to be like a finesse to it. I think that it's less about the fact that there like has to be, and it's like doing it kind of in a right way. First of all, I think giving more opportunity for people like me who are neurodivergent, who are neurodiverse, however you say it, who can, who can do good work, might need help on other little tiny things, but like, I do good work. I've been in the business for a while, and I've never gotten hired, not hired because of my disability, but I know some people who might have that issue. And I think being open enough to hire somebody who is, because it's not about what they can't do, it's about what they can do. And if they're really into the audio, you know, side of things, regardless of what that is, they'll do a really good job on it. Like they're very good. The other thing is, you know, I think there should be more. I think there can always be more stories about people, audio books or audio stories with people with different neurodivergent groups. And also, I don't mind if, like, in terms of representation, I don't think it's that. I would love the opportunity, and I think they should go to the opportunity. But if they end up, if I ever wrote a book on my life and somebody does an audiobook about me and I'm being played by, for example, Jim Cummings, I'm okay with being played by Jim Cummings. He's one of my heroes.
So what you're saying is that specifically in audio, that if you have a neurodivergent character who's played by someone who is neurotypical, it's probably not that big of a deal as opposed to you.
To me, yes. Like, for example, and any disability, like, how are you going to, if you're going to do a story where you're playing a character in a wheelchair, how are you going to know? Like, you're not going to be able, unless you do pictures, obviously, but you're not going to really see the person behind it. I think what it really needs to be, though, is just genuineness and often being authentic and credible, and not giving into like certain stereotypes, like not having the person. And a lot of that also comes down to the writing, which is why I think, you know, involve more people in the who are neurodiverse in the creative process. If you want to represent us, you know, include us, actually include us for that, so we can avoid that. But in terms of the voiceover thing, I think that avoiding the stereotyping and being off, you know, being true and authentic. But yeah, also don't be afraid to hire. And I want to add, though, I'm not just here for playing the neurodiverse characters. As much as I love doing that and how I've used it as an asset, you know, there are more characters I can play and stuff like that. But I think in terms of your question, yeah, it's just one of those kind of, I think it's a trickier thing that, you know, could still use some finesse, but I think including us, trying to include us more, I think we can always, it's nice to feel included.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So how did you get into voiceover work in the first place?
Well, it really started out with I was really good at imitating like cartoons and stuff. Watched a lot of cartoons as a kid. Played video games, watched movies. I would imitate certain voices. And around the time I was like 14 or 15, I think 14, we were just kind of thinking about what I could do with my life. And, is there any after school things I can do? And we found a voiceover school in San Francisco. And I took a couple classes there. And I've been, throughout my career, I've been taking classes there. Not so much recently, but throughout the building part of my whole career, I was taking classes there, and they've been extremely helpful. They don't just do voiceover. They do kind of other acting. They talk about the business side of things. The teachers are like professionals from the industry. So, and I just love doing it. And then I think voiceover kind of came from my love of theater, which I was encouraged to do, not just by my parents, but by my educators at the school that I went to. They encouraged me to go out and try for theater. And that not only helped, show that I could do this, it helped build my confidence, and people responded positively to me, which was huge. It was a huge deal to get this kind of positive response. And, I'm very grateful for that. And that just kind of led, because theater can be tough. There's a lot of, driving around and attending rehearsals. Voiceover, it's like, I could do it in my pajamas.
Yes. Yes. You don't have to worry about how you look.
No.
You brought up school, and it's not a question I had prepped you for, but you said that the educators at your school encouraged you to go into theater and fine arts, performing arts. Did you go to a public school?
No, I went to, well, I don't know what you would call that. I don't really want to name names.
So no, it's fine.
I started at a, I guess you can call it a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. I went to a Catholic school, and I should point out that I was diagnosed with autism when I was like 13, like 12 or 13. So it was not as late as some, but a pretty late mm-hmm. diagnosis. And a lot of the teachers there who were, not bad people, they were nice and stuff, they just didn't really know what to do with me. And they didn't have the training, like the skill and stuff to work with somebody like me. And, to even the kids, the other kids didn't know what to do with me. I didn't know what to do with me. And that led to, of course, that led to some bullying and stuff. But we found a school. It was a private but more inclusive school that, like I said, was more inclusive, and they could, they were more flexible in how they learned. And they were the ones who helped identify, my autism. And mm-hmm. they kind of worked out, we all kind of worked out, the classes were smaller, so we were more flexible in how we learned. And, how we did projects, how we handled the curriculum. So that was, it was far less challenging and it made learning a lot more fun. I think I was reminded that I did a project where we did, it was either Black Plague or polio or some kind of, we were learning about different, you know, illnesses. And I did the report writing a script for an episode of Star Trek, where they come to Earth in the past and they discover that people have polio and they try to, you know, cure it. So, and I performed the script in front of the class as my, like, you know, as the final paper. I performed it. I did all the characters and stuff. So, you know, little fun things like that, that were beyond just sitting at a desk and, you know, looking at books and writing, which was tough for me. Handwriting is tough for me. And yeah, the teachers were very, you know, they were very engaging and they kind of helped me with my, you know, if I had anxiety or meltdowns or anything like that, they kind of helped gently navigate my way through it. They would gently kind of tell me, Jonathan, that's not okay. You know, try to find something else. I'm like, okay. And normally I would be accepting of that. I'm like, okay, you're right. You know, you're right. I'm sorry. And stuff. They would usually like help me through it. And because of that, I wasn't afraid to ask that to come to them when I was feeling certain feelings, when I was feeling frustrated or upset. You know, it was just something I could go to them and I could work through it. And that did lead to theater too, because I was kind of left out because like I said, it was a small classes and the kids there were either really good at sports or really good at computers. And I was really good at neither of those things. So it was like, what am I going to do? And so they told me, when the idea for my family was to do community theater, they pushed that. They said, yeah, do it, Jonathan, do it. And so I did it. And there was it was youth theater, so the schools got to go, and they actually brought my entire class and all the and everybody there was like, oh, this is who he is. This is who I am.
And you were able to do that because it sounds like they made a safe space for you.
They helped me. Realize, you know, it was for everybody. The whole point of the school was, you know, to a safe place to try and, you know, learn, grow, and not just academically, socially as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there something that you feel like people misunderstand about you?
I think a lot of the times people underestimate me. Maybe not so much now, but I think maybe they still do. I don't know. Like I said, I've kind of stopped putting so much into what other people think about me. Like seeming, you know, the whole thing of like you spend your whole youth wanting to be cool and you realize that it's cooler not to be cool, not to try to be cool.
Yeah.
But I think people still do underestimate me. And I think there's still that kind of, I think there's always going to be a stigma for people with challenging disabilities because it's been ingrained in everywhere for so long. And it's getting better, but it's just going to take a lot of time. And I also feel like, you know, we're not getting kind of, it's not about recognition. It's about getting a chance. We're not getting as much kind of attention as we need. And we're also not getting kind of recognized for we're more recognized for what we can't do and what our challenges is than what we can do. And I think that's kind of how I feel about it. I think I would like that to start to, you know, I personally would like that to start to change, being more about what we can do and what we can't do, and to give us a chance.
What about your dreams for your career? I mean, it could be related to the podcast or not, but
yeah,
you know.
Well, the podcast, I mean, what I love about the podcast is it gives me a chance to flex myself creatively. I have voiced on that podcast over 100 characters, different characters, and continuing. And it's a great outlet, but it's also a great way for me to work with other people, and some of them who are neurodiverse. And the message of the podcast overall is, you know, being, you know, a message of positivity, of positive role models, and that it's okay to be who you are and embrace your unique, what makes you unique, and that we will accept you. And that's kind of, I want this to lead to more opportunity. I would love for it. It makes enough money that we could pay, like, you know, the writers and some of the guest stars, and our engineer, of course, gets paid, but I don't get paid for it yet. And I would like, you know, hopefully one day I would like to make it, you know, financially viable, as would I think we all with these kind of things. And, you know, to lead to more opportunities. I'm actually a young fan invited me to come next week, very soon, to come speak to her school. I'm going to be speaking to like third and fourth graders and stuff, and, you know, going to talk about the podcast and maybe do some voiceover exercises and stuff like that. So leads to, you know, not just industry opportunities, but, you know, positive role model personal opportunities too.
That's great. And best of luck to the Dorkheels podcast, yourself, in the staff and everything. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about, you know, what you would like for educators to walk away from this conversation with.
Well, what do you think that I haven't already said? I think focusing on, you know, the positive outlets. If you're like, if you have somebody who is, you know, neurodivergent or what have you, or thinks differently, you know, they're remember they could have a lot to offer, and they just need a little bit more, you know, different guidance. And I think for an educator, it kind of depends on the age, but don't be like with them, like with my teachers, don't be afraid to like let them know that you are there for them, that you are, you know, that you understand them, and that if they have, you know, if they have any kind of problems, come to you, that they can come to you, and you can work out safe way for them, what can be done to offer them guidance, and to know that you were there for them, and that you know that they can, they know that you know that they have a lot to offer, not just you know, what their challenges are.
Stay tuned for the mystery question right after this break.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What do you keep on your desk or workspace area that boosts your mood? So I'll go first if you want.
Yeah, I have to think about it.
So there's a story behind this. So do you know what this is?
Oh, I can't remember the name, but I've seen that before.
So this is Bucky the Beaver. So right. Note for the audio, because I have to describe this. This is a bobblehead that I'm holding up. It's about 4 or 5 inches tall. And it is a beaver with a red cap and a red shirt, and it's got a Bucky the Beaver logo. And so Bucky's is a, I guess, famous gas station chain in Texas.
Mm, and that's right. I've
and
seen commercials.
They have them, yeah. They have them in Georgia. They're huge. They're like, it's like walking into a Walmart, with, you know, Bucky being like the mascot. They have brisket. They have beef jerky. They have like these candied nuts. They have popcorn. They have all the regular snacks. They have tons of drinks and coffee, and it's just. It's huge, and there's tons of gas, you know, pumps or whatever. And we usually stop there on road trips. And so there's one in between Atlanta, where I live, and Mississippi, which is where my brother-in-law lives. And so on the way back, we usually stop at Bucky's, you know, cause it's, I get these candied pecans. They're like, I love pecans. They're delicious. And so, I'm always telling my kids, I'm like, oh, I want to get my Bucky swag, you know, like wear it around. And they're like so embarrassed by me because they're like, Dad, Bucky's is like so like whatever.
Bucky's is so 1930s.
Exactly. So I think it was around my birthday, and I look out my front door and there was this like on the front door, the doorstop, the doormat is just sitting there. And I'm like, first of all, who knows that I like Bucky's? And like, where, like, we were here all night. Like, who put this here? You know, I started to get really freaked out. I'm like, oh my God, like, do I have a stalker? Is there like what's going on? and then I call my brother-in-law. I'm like, oh my gosh. They just moved from from Georgia to Mississippi, and he was still coming back to like take care of a few things, and so he must have dropped it off like as a birthday present, but didn't tell me, you know, like it was just a surprise. And so I called him up and I'm like, dude, you totally freaked me out leaving this Bucky's thing. I was like, I have no idea who this is from. And so now I have but that was a long story, Jonathan. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
So I have Bucky the Beaver right here. It always puts me in a good mood. So
it's okay because I got nothing. The beauty about voice acting is you don't work at a desk.
Well, do you have any, so I guess, do you collect anything? Do you have like any tchotchke type of things or like,
you know, I can say this, because we're doing it tonight. I've been roped in to play by, and enjoy doing it, playing D&D with a group of people. I don't have it with me because I'm not in my house, but, you know, you use dice and stuff, right? To get, you know, you have your computer and stuff to keep track of your character sheet and all that. It's really fun to do, but you use dice. And for the first couple of games we played, I'm rolling the dice and it's like, oh, it went off the table. All right, hang on. It went off the table. Hold on. It's like, all right, do this critical roll. Oh, it went under the couch. Hang on. And stuff. So it's, it just went all over. So one of the guys who's another podcaster and stuff, he's been a guest star in the episode and some of the episodes before. He's one of our D&D guys. He sent me over unprompted, how do I describe it? It's like a dice. It's kind of like a little bowl. It's like a dice. You roll the dice and it's square shaped and it kind of folds up a little bit. It's flat. And you can roll the dice and the dice won't get all over the place. And the coolest thing about it is it's the map of Middle Earth from the Lord of the Rings. It's specifically the Hobbit, the map that they used in the Hobbit. It's specifically that map. And I was like, oh, and it's like leather. It's like brown leather and stuff. I'm like, this is really cool.
Oh, that is cool. That is cool. See, that boosts your mood right there.
There you go.
Just talking about it.
Yeah.
Jonathan Cormer, thank you so much for being on the Think Inclusive podcast. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
That chime means it's free time. And this week, I want to share with you a podcast, but not just any podcast. Fire Breathing Kittens is an actual play one-shot podcast that plays various tabletop role-playing games with a season-long plot. Because there's a beginning and an end to each week's story, you can start at any episode. Every week has a different combination of four people from the same rotating cast. Join Fire Breathing Kittens as they solve detective mysteries, attempt comedic banter, and enjoy friendship. Now, these episodes clock in at around 3 hours, but they are highly entertaining, and if you love role-playing games, you are going to love this pod. Okay, that's it for this week. For more information about inclusive education, or to learn how you can partner with MCIE on school transformation or professional learning opportunities, visit mcie.org. Love Think Inclusive? Here are a few ways to let us know. Rate us on Spotify or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Or you can donate to MCIE with a one-time or monthly donation so that we can keep making Think Inclusive and our newest podcast, Inclusion Stories. To donate, go to bit.ly/mcie-donate or visit mcie.org. Think Inclusive is written, edited, designed, mixed, and mastered by me, Tim Villegas. Original music by Miles Kredich. Additional music from Melody. Thanks for your time and attention. And remember, inclusion always works. Okay, so I'm going to pick a random mystery question. Have you, and we'll both answer it. And so far, it's nothing inappropriate. It's more like, you know, sometimes they're silly, sometimes they're thought-provoking. So we'll see.
I hope we'll see it's how it goes. A silly one.
I hope so, too. I don't want to get too serious, you know? Right. All right, here we go. This is the question. This is not a silly one. Should I repick? Let's repick.
Okay.
From MCIE.